In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Well, I feel as I've been in church all week. So I'm glad that you've come back for more today. Over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we had almost 380 people in church, which was wonderful. And a large percentage of those folk were children. So thank you for your faithfulness in being here. And as we celebrate the joy of Christmas, and it goes on. When I was a kid, I used to go to a non-conformist church in Wales, as you might know. I was there yesterday and back the same day. And it was a non-conformist church. And as soon as Christmas Day had gone, we stopped singing Christmas carols. That was it, done for the year. But the wonderful thing about our local Anglican church, Church of Wales Church, was they continued to sing carols right up to Epiphany and beyond. And so we celebrate the joy of Christmas. So it's good to be here today to sing carols still. In fact, if you come to our house, we start listening to Christmas carols after half term in October. Because they give us so much joy. And with the leaden skies that we've had over the week, we need a bit of joy, don't we? And particularly as we go into 2025, with so much uncertainty. But let us be people of gratitude and joy. Let's not contribute to the problem, but be part of the solution. Let's be people of joy. So hopefully as you go from here today back to your homes and families into this week, new year, new possibilities, new choices particularly for our children. Help us to be people of joy, to be lifted up and grateful. If you were here on Christmas Eve at the 10 o'clock, I was talking about the universe as being our home. And the need for us all to come home again, to come back to God. I've talked many times, by the way, that we say that we, who are we? We say that we are children of God. We're made in his image for a purpose. That's what Christians believe. We're called to have a relationship with the Father. It is true that we are all children of God, but I want to qualify that, by the way. We need to qualify it. Although we are all children of God, all of humanity, the Bible teaches very clearly that we need to be adopted back into his family. Unless you've been baptized and come back to him and turned to him and confessed him as Lord and Savior, you are what's called a prodigal child. You know the story from Luke, very familiar. You are in another country. So we need to come home. And the great call of Christmas is to come home. And the manger is our home. And on Christmas Eve, I spoke about the universe being designed as our home, right from the very beginning. And for those who might be interested, if you're interested in these things, some people aren't. I'm incredibly interested. Here's a little paper from Cambridge called Is the Universe Designed? I would encourage you to read it. It's quite heavy going. But it talks about the fact that right from the very beginning of the Big Bang, everything was so incredibly finely tuned for us to be here. There are about 30 plus physical constants that are so precise that if it wasn't for them being in place, we would never be here. And the universe is a set-up job. And by the way, this is something that has come to science only in the last, let's say, 50 or 60 years. And it's one of the reasons why an awful lot of physicists are Christians and are turning to faith. The universe is amazingly set up. I'll give one illustration again for you. The universe being our home, the expansion rate of the universe from the beginning of the Big Bang is so precise. So it has to expand. If it doesn't expand at exactly the right rate, It either collapses or explodes. Here's how precise the universe is. The expansion rate. It is equivalent to me shaking this dice, throwing it into the air, and getting a 6 70 times in a row. Now that's impossible, isn't it? It's utterly impossible. So you have to say, if that expansion rate is so incredibly precise right from the very beginning, either this is an amazing accident or actually the universe is a set-up job. As one of the great professors of physics says, a super intellect has monkeyed with the laws of physics. The expansion rate is so incredibly precise. And that's just not one of them. There's multiple of these things. And if you want to explore it for your interest, here it is. Have a read of it. Why the universe is designed. It is our home. Now, we read about the Holy Family today. You notice there's trouble in the family. He's only 12 years old and he gets stuck in the temple. If ever safeguarding issue, it's here. He goes missing. Where is he? And maybe as we've been going through the Christmas period, we identify problems in our own family. Because suddenly at Christmas time, everything sort of comes into contrast. Struggle at home, problems with relationships, difficulties in getting on, absentee children, family members who are perhaps at rift with one another, and we realise that although we would like Christmas to be perfect, it's anything but, and we struggle with that. Maybe there are things in your own family that have been brought, if you like, into sharp contrast, relief, during the Christmas period, and it gives a lament, and you wanted it to be so much better, but it wasn't. But you know, the wonderful thing is that God is still with us in the struggle, even in our family struggle. And maybe there are members of your family that you don't have any contact with anymore. Maybe there are people who were estranged. Suddenly at Christmas times, you're aware of an empty chair, a card that hasn't arrived, a conversation that hasn't happened, and there was a separation, and you wanted it to be so much more better. I want to remind you what the Christmas story is really about. Think about it. We think it's all rather sort of beautiful, and we want to airbrush in it and sort of imagine it as being fantastic. But here's the reality. The reason that they had to go to Bethlehem because they were under the domination of a power that was exploiting them, and there was tyranny and violence. They were going there to be taxed. 75 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, walking. And then, of course, they get there and they find no home. And we've got a teenage pregnancy. So we've got teenage pregnancy, the problem of homelessness, a long journey, and tyranny of the Roman rule. And then what happens? They have to escape into Egypt. So all of a sudden, the very beginning, they become migrants. And they have to go elsewhere. They have to make a long journey into a foreign country. This is the Christmas story. And then what happens because of the hatred and anger of Herod? We get the slaughter of the innocents. Think about that. Power, domination, separation, taxation, long journeys, homelessness, teenage pregnancy, escape into Egypt, and then the slaughter of the innocent. That's the Christmas story. Think about that. Wow. So really, this is not a story for children. This is an incredibly adult story if you think about it. And yet, despite all this struggle, there's a sound of joy through it. There's joy that comes to the shepherds and then later on to the wise man. So despite all the difficulty and the struggle, somehow there is a joy written into it. And there's a peace, an understanding, and a new future. And that is wonderfully because the scriptures are incredibly realistic, that despite this struggle that this holy family are going through, let alone when he becomes 12, despite this whole thing that the holy family are going through, there is still a joy, and there's still the angel song, and there is still peace on earth, and there is still in Mary's heart a knowing that something special is happening. So this is a wonderful thing, because it says to us, Christianity doesn't deny the struggle and the pain and the dark days and the indifference and the hardness. And yet, despite of that, because of the wonderful message of the angels, we can still find peace, even in the struggle, even in our future, even in the uncertainty. Even in all of this, there is suddenly still a song of peace and joy that can run through it. And that is why Christianity in this story is wonderfully realistic. And that's what we've got to hold on to. So as we go into a new year, I'm not sure. Government, not sure. Economics, not sure. What's it going to work out like? I'm not sure. What's it going to be like? What about my health? What about the decisions we have to make? What about the family? Who knows? Not sure. But if we trust this story, despite the struggle, we can hear the angel song. And it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's a story of joy, and it's why the shepherds came in haste, full of life. Whoa, something has happened. Something has happened. And so we've got to allow this story to transform us too, our families, our future, everything, our past, because something has happened. To finish, you might just discard Starlink as you go each Sunday. Some people leave it here, that's fine. I would ask you to take it this week, if you will. And I would ask you to read again Colossians chapter 3 that Simone wonderfully read to us. Because if there is ever a manifesto for your life and for a new year for yourself, here it is. It's wonderfully precise to finish. It says, you are chosen. You are chosen and holy. You are dearly beloved. So it says, clothe yourself with these wonderful Christian attributes of kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It says, forgive one another. It calls us to be thankful and prayerful. It calls us to put on Christ in all our behaviours and in all our choices. And there's a fantastic one line at the end of the reading that in one sense summarises what Christianity is. Colossians 3, 12 to 17, it says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Christ, giving thanks to the Father. So a choice for you as we go into 2025, what is it going to be? Whatever I do in word or in deed, I will do it all in the name of Christ. So that Christianity becomes a whole life principle. Family, friends, money, choices, the things I listen to, the things I look at. The places I go, the way I spend my money, the way I am to other people, I will clothe myself in Christ. In whatever I do in word or deed, I will do it all in his name. There's a one-line summary of what Christianity is. People often say to me, Christianity is so complex, I don't get it, Vicar. Well, listen, this is really wonderfully simple. What is Christianity? It is this. Whatever you do in word or deed, you would do it all for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So pray as we come to New Year's Eve, will you? And take the reading from Colossians today. Read it again. Pray over it. Make it your own. Amen. Let's have a moment of quiet before we say the creed.